Are you bringing the television cameras in here now? Come on, bring it in!
Can't do that.
Why?
I don't deal with psychos. I put them away.
I ain't no psycho, man! I'm a hero! You're looking at a fucking hunter! I'm a hero of the new world!
You're a disease, and I'm the cure.
Die!
Drop it!
Movie openings on a weekend where two amazing geek movies hit the screens. Two men provide geek radio coverage. Those two men are us.
Two geeks coming this summer.
All right, so we are the two geeks.
That is a better impression than I remember. That's really awesome. Who is the guy that died?
Who?
Well, the voiceover guy.
Don LaFontaine.
Okay, yeah, you could definitely take his place for sure.
I would love to. All right, so we are the Action Room. We are Geek Radio, and I am your co-host, Tony Wolf.
And I'm your co-host, Producer Mike.
And we have new radiosodes every Monday and Friday. In the morning, sharp in the morning, and you can follow us on Facebook and like us on Facebook and lick us on Facebook. And you can also follow us on Twitter and engage us on Twitter. We're very engaging.
And you can lick us in person.
And you can lick us in person if you have the good fortune and the honor to meet us in person. And we will be at the New York Comic Con in October, so a lot of our Action fans will be able to meet us then.
Now, speaking of someone who may be a little more popular as far as a geek is concerned,
yes,
is a man by the name of Justin Tyler.
Yes.
Who we originally know from Comic Book Club, which is a live kind of comic book show.
Comic book talk show. The only live comic book talk
show. It's like improv-y, and they talk about comics, but it's super funny, and it's in front of a live audience, and they do a lot of stuff, videos online and everything. And
we saw them when they were first starting out.
And from that team also, there's three of them. It's Justin, Alex Zalbin, who we had on,
yes,
who's a writer now for Marvel. And who's the third guy?
Pete LePage.
Okay.
LePage
the Fool.
Yes.
And so he's going to be in the studio after the break.
Justin will.
Along with Chris Walker, who's a friend I know from years ago. And he's an artist, a colorist for comic books. And they are now pairing up because Chris is directing and created and wrote, too, a kind of a comic book web series that's going to be coming out called, what is it called? Antimatter.
The Antimatter Show.
So
Antimatter.
I think it's just called Antimatter, but everything on the webs,
right,
on the web is called Antimatter Show. But
so
yeah,
it's about the antics and life and comedy of people who work at a comic book store.
But now Justin has been on the show, and if you're a fan that you've been listening,
he has been on our show.
Yeah, he's been on this show. Years ago, like probably 2007.
Action Room version 1.0.
And if you look on our archives, you will see there are a few episodes for version 1.0, and one of them is episode 11, and it's called Video Games. And he did a segment with a friend of his, who's kind of his also his comedy partner or was
writing
or whatever,
partner,
called Jonathan Gabris. And they had a comedy team called Tybris, which is a merge of their names, Tyler and Gabris.
Right.
And they did a segment that I called The Game Couch. And it was just kind of an experimental segment when we were first trying to figure out what to do with the show, where they just kind of riffed on video games. I thought it was super funny. We didn't, you know, follow through with it, but it's a great segment. And if you want to check it out, episode 11 in the archives.
Yes. And later on in the show, we will give our reviews of the two films in the genre of geekdom, very different style films that hit this weekend. Of course, I am talking about Scott Pilgrim versus the World and The Expendables.
So the sound effect for Scott Pilgrim would be a bling.
Yes.
And then the one for Expendables would be a huge explosion. They couldn't be more opposite.
They really couldn't.
But they're totally an example of where we were with action films and where we are with action films.
Where we're
and,
going, the
yeah.
future.
And
it's funny because years ago, producer Mike, probably about a year before The Expendables was announced, producer Mike said, you know what they should do? They should put all the action heroes in one movie And lo and behold, 8 months later, we heard about The Expendables.
And we'll talk about if that was a good idea or not.
We'll talk about how that was fulfilled. And we'll also have the nerd news later, of course.
So, actually, let's just go to the break. We'll without further ado.
All right.
Justin Tyler, Chris Walker in the studio right after this short, short commercial break. Without a commercial.
Action fans, we are back in the action room with our very special guests. This episode, producer Mike and I have brought to the studio Justin Tyler and Chris Walker.
Yeah.
The studio audience is just very excited. Very excited.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I know, great guys, Gary. Here. It's really nice.
He's a regular.
Very specific. Yeah, it's awesome.
They won the contest to see you guys.
Oh,
here,
so. Man, what a sad.
They had to wait in line for 10 hours on the street.
A line of two. It was a two-person line they waited in.
I heard y'all are getting the dog pound from Arsenio. Can we do the...
We're bringing it back.
They're so old now. They haven't aged well.
The teenagers are like, what are y'all talking about?
Arsenio who? Okay.
All right, so Justin and Chris have combined their geek knowledge and their geek expertise and their writing and comedy sensibilities. You guys have a lot of projects going on, but specifically, first we'll talk about you are producing a web comedy series called Antimatter, right?
No, specifically, that's Chris's project.
Yes.
I know he wanted to talk about it a little bit later, but let's just start with it and we'll get back to it.
Oh, so, nice. Oh, so yeah, yeah. It's a setup and a callback.
So, real quick, how did you guys hook up? It's not a romantic thing, but how did you guys...
Oh, well, it hasn't happened yet.
It was. Anyway.
There's a bromance, but there's different kinds of bromance.
I showed up at the comedy club, and I was like, man, you're hot. Would you like to hang out and... would you like to hang out and make movies and web series together?
It was a great pickup line. It always works on me.
Now, Justin, at this point in your career, because you've done a bunch of online stuff, when you hear the word web series, what do you think?
Immediately turned on.
Yeah.
Sexually and career-wise.
You don't run away screaming.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, just the web is such a buzzword. It's great to hear it. I mean, I was wondering, will this go on the web? Let me say that. This is sort of a web series
only
of sounds.
Only the intern webs.
What about the interwebs? I like that one. I have an interweb.
Well, I said the intern webs. It's a sub. It's a sub-web. So Justin is one of the three founders of the Comic Book Club, which is alive. Woo! A live and very enduring show. It's been 3.5 years.
Yeah, coming up on 4 in December. It'll be 4 years.
And it is every Tuesday night at the Pit, the People's Improv Theater, at 7, 8 o'clock?
8 p.m.
8 p.m.
Now, what's it like doing it for this long? Like, is it getting tiring? Or?
I'm tired in general. I don't know if that just... it's great. We love each other. I don't know. How do you say? It's sort of a marriage of... when you find comic book fans that you can talk to and not be embarrassed about,
right?
You have to hold on to that.
Now, what? And do you guys just plan to do this indefinitely, or does somebody have to move away to college, or what?
Yeah, I'm gonna finally go back to college. I gotta finish up my welding degree.
Wow.
I hope it's tough.
You can weld on the web.
One of the big things that you did do a web series was called The Web Adventures of Justin and Alden.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Gary, stop clapping. Jeez, this guy's a real applause
maniac.
And it's
on, is it on My Damn Channel? Where can people find it?
It's not on My Darn Channel.
Not My Darn, but My Damn. Now, can you explain how did this come about? Because,
Alden and I are in a sketch comedy group called Sidecar, and we went in an audition for Trident and did this little video for them, and they were like, they wanted us to do, we had to go up to celebrities and try to put this gum in their hands and then somehow get them to sign a release. And we were like, that's insane. There's no way that's ever going to work. So we made a video for them based on that. And that project never went anywhere, but then Trident loved the video so much they brought us in for this web series.
Which was sponsored by Trident.
Yes, indeed. Trident Layers Gum, the gum with layers.
And ooh. What? So initially it was a contest, or you just pitched?
No, it was
an audition.
It was an audition. Yeah,
oh, it was an
auditioned
okay.
for it directly, and they cast us.
What celebrities did you get?
We. In the initial thing, there were no celebrities.
Yeah, no.
Impossible. But
Scott Baio.
Yeah, exactly. He'll
wow.
do anything.
Wow.
He loves gum. We actually in the actual web series though, Shannon Doherty was in it. We got to meet her and
cool,
we got to
cool.
see her. Milo Ventimiglia,
Felicia Day,
and Ileana Douglas.
Ileana Douglas
also in that series.
Yep. So it was a good Tony Janning from Legend of Neil.
And George Washington.
George Washington
yes. himself,
famous it's, celebrity.
We enjoyed
the TMZ asshole George Washington.
We enjoyed the series. It's very very funny. Are there 10 episodes? 9 episodes?
Just 5.
Just 5.
How long did it take to make the whole thing? And
Tony Janning and Sandeep. From Legend of Neil wrote the episodes. We worked with them on the script beforehand, and we flew up for about 8 days to LA and shot it.
And there's some cool special effects. The Back to the Future special effect I especially appreciated.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, just real quick. Oh, did you want to say it? Go ahead.
No. Oh, okay. Back to the Future, great film.
Thumbs up.
The other thing that you did with Alden uh-huh. is the Nerd Rage Rap.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Which is a big
put that up.
For on, Adam Films.
It's on Adam.com.
It used to be called Adam Films back in the day.
Really?
Right?
Until they went to the internet and they put .com on there.
Yes. And on the interwebs, they're ATM.
Because I worked with Chris. At a place called UBO.
I don't know you, dude.
Yeah. Which was early, and one of the early, it was called UBO. It didn't go anywhere.
It was a
dot com.
As opposed
animation.
To Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
But we did
yeah.
play a lot of cards there.
We
cards?
Did.
Instead
yeah.
of
what
working.
What kind of cards?
Magic the Gathering?
No, we played
Strip
for
poker.
Money. Exactly.
Strip gathering. But there was...
Strip gathering for money? Sounds like a cool
was gathered.
You got, yeah.
The early sites was Adam. There was also Heavy. .com,
yes, Heavy
which
was...
Which still lives and is thriving.
No.
No.
It's not?
I mean, it's around, but it's
a
blog.
I knew a
There's no, like, content
there.
On there. Like,
oh,
it
really?
I mean, it's not like Heavy back when we were at
Everything became
UBL.
A blog.
Yeah.
Like, it was, ugh. Like, after midnight, yeah. they all turned into blogs.
Oh,
so
after
tell
the
us,
midnight, the money stopped.
It was so sad because those parties on yachts, it
yes.
was just so much fun back
yes.
in the 2000.
The early internet.
The aughts. Aughts not.
Yeah, I know. Really?
Okay, so Nerd Rage Rap.
Yeah, rap.
Do it for me right now. No,
okay.
tell us how that all came about.
We were doing 3 videos for them, and they liked the idea of a Nerd Rage Rap.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, okay. We procrastinated forever, and then...
as all great art begins.
Yep.
Waiting for geek culture to get even bigger and more mainstream.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
For just the right time
the
to
right
pluck
moment.
That little berry right on the vine. And wrote up some lyrics. Not a great rapper. Either one of us, but
no, you did it.
It was
you
awesome.
Did it justice. I think.
We got an actual hip hop producer and went to his.
I was
studio.
Gonna say the music in the background really sounds, you know.
Yeah, he was legit.
Tony, it's the beats.
It's yeah. the beats.
They got the right beats.
Yeah,
it was Swizz Beats,
really?
Huh?
I'm the
Swizz
only
beats.
Person
Dilly
to rap
Dan?
Here. They're
wait,
like, we have
is
no.
That
idea.
Actually, no. That's
Alicia
Keys.
Alicia's.
Oh
husband,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Swizz.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Grotto in Turk? Wait, what are we? I'm sorry, I don't know what that is either.
Alicia Keys' husband, or just married.
Swizz Beatz.
Is that a person?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you said like Swizz Beatz, like Switzerland rap.
Yeah,
that's his nom de rap.
Yeah,
he does a lot of Swatch Watch raps. No, I'm just
yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, right.
So let's take it back to the Nerd Rage rap.
So yes, so we recorded it and shot it.
Various
in
locales
Brooklyn, in a couple locales. Got real angry at stuff, but yeah, we tried to make it hit all of the geek.
And you do, yeah.
We try to get
and
on.
And the auto tune was very cool as well.
Yeah, I got
who
some
sings the auto tune?
That's Matt Fisher, the third member of Sidecar.
Awesome.
Does the auto tune bits.
And what is like? Do you have gaps in your geek knowledge, or are you a fan of pretty much everything from Lost to Star Trek to comics, or I mean, video games, Warcraft?
Warcraft is where I stop. I can't get that deep in. But yeah, pretty much most things I'm pretty into.
Okay.
And so, that's why, like, all the stuff we hit, we were legitimately angry about. Like, Battlestar,
yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan.
You could feel it.
Wait. What was wrong with Battlestar, though, dude?
The ending was crap.
Well, but I'm watching the series now on DVD.
I'm not going to tell you what happened, but Starbuck is still hot all the way through, so it doesn't matter.
No, the last season, she looks hot, but she loses any of the charm she had throughout the whole thing, in my mind.
What, blood?
And also, like, there are five Cylons. Then they're like, no, they're like 11. They're 11 Cylons.
Didn't they get 12?
And then it's like, oh, and she's not a Cylon, but she's like, whatever. She's like this other presence. And all this. Like, it was just, they had such a great, the first two seasons were so great, and then it just sort of.
I never saw the first two.
Chris, don't get Justin going. He's going to rage out.
Right? Oh, shit. Oh, give me a Swiss beat, kid.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm talking about?
You give me a color Hulk.
You get a Glockenspiel in here,
maybe
kid.
Maybe it can be Blue Hulk. Huh? I think Marvel's going to fight the Lanterns with the colors with the Hulk.
Like the Red Hulk versus the Red Lanterns.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a Yellow Hulk.
What?
Yeah. I don't know what emotion that might be. Chicken? Like when he gets like...
He's just very shy. He's very shy.
When he gets scared, he shrinks and becomes even more wimpy.
Ooh, me shy Hulk.
Okay, Justin and Chris, what do you think of geek culture right now, where it's headed? Is it getting a little too mainstream?
Will it max out, and will society
and
leave
my
us
other,
in the dust?
My follow-up question is there a next kind of generation of geek that is not the current geek?
What are people going to be geeky about
in
the future?
Yeah. That was a better way to say it. Yeah. Thanks.
Nice. I mean, everyone's like, oh, God, geek culture's mainstream. But, like, I think what's nice now, I mean, everyone's a geek about something. And, like,
yes,
I imagine,
I agree.
Like it's not uncool to just, it's geeking out is just being interested in something. Like, everyone's a fan of something. So, it's becoming mainstream just because people are like, oh, I like this thing. And
it's okay
to
really be into stuff right now. Yeah. Like, I'm really into paper stock. Like, you know,
okay.
If it's paper, it's like, you know.
Like different stocks? Or is there one like.
There's just one. There's
like cardboard,
you know,
that you really.
It's like, you know, just regular like type.
Do you have
paper.
A favorite stationery
fonts,
store you'd like to go to?
Geeking about fonts.
I have some geeking fonts, friends.
Oh,
like
fonts,
I have friends that are designers that will tell you like where it's from, the history.
Wow.
Like,
I think most comic fans are very font centered because we grew up with so many different kinds of lettering.
True.
You got your Tom Warzechowski. You're just I got into lettering through.
Yeah, I was on Blambot today, actually.
Blambot. Yeah,
All
right, but
you guys are dorks.
But let's take it.
No one's into fonts. I don't think people are like, oh, jeez.
But it is funny because we had these girls on the show, and they were like, oh, I'm
already don't believe you. Interesting anecdote.
Let's change the subject. We're cool girls.
This one girl.
There was some
like,
chloroform involved. But
yes, chloroform.
Wow.
But she goes, oh, my friend. They were like, she goes, oh, my friend's a model, whatever. She's really into. She's a total geek. And we were like, oh, yeah? She goes, yeah, she's a total coffee geek.
Yeah.
She knows everything about all the varieties of coffee. And Mike and I are like, that's not really the kind of geek we're looking at here.
But it's true. Everybody's into something. So, I mean, but what do you think? I think the next wave of geek is going to be the anti-tech geek.
Unplugging.
Anti-tech?
Yeah.
Luddite,
kind of. Not people that actually overthrow things and destroy computers, but...
Like
you
the
know,
revolution.
Like the revolution.
Oh, like
tell
the...
Us about that?
Sure. Thank you. Finally, have a soapbox to get up and talk to you. Ladies and gentlemen, technology is overreaching our lives. When was the last time you hugged someone? When was the last time you put down your Twitter board...
And just went out
your
and played
deck
in the sun. Let's bring this interview back. Okay. The show that you two are doing is called Antimatter. It's about geeks in a comic book store, and it's a great comedy. There's a trailer on YouTube. Talk about the show.
Yeah, there's a trailer on YouTube. We shot the series, I think, in March, and I just wanted to make a show that kind of, you know, made fun of being geeks and just hanging out in the comic book store, having fun. Like, if you've ever been a comic book fan, it's kind of the place you look forward to going to.
Oh, yeah.
Especially before geeks were cool. It was, like, the one place you could go to and have, like, that three-hour-long conversation on, you know, can Hulk really lift that mountain without it shattering around him?
Right.
You know, and I was a comic book artist for a long time. I was a colorist for Marvel and DC, and I wanted to start making comedies. And, you know, you just start what you know. And I'm like, well,
the
I know
classic
a comic
Hollywood
book
story.
Yes.
Comic
yes.
book colorist to.
Yes, the comic book colorist director. To web series director. I mean, it's so.
I've heard it so many times.
There are a million stories out there, people.
Now, what do you think of comic book stores with the digital, the iPad, all the digital comic books? Do you think the comic book stores are going to die out eventually when everybody starts downloading their comics?
Comic book store owners are going to die.
Really?
Also, fuck the iPad. Am I right?
Oh.
Justin is starting this movement.
He's nerd raging.
Are you with me, guys?
Great.
Are you with
yes, me? I am anti-technology.
Yes.
Screw the iPad.
Woo! Okay. Well, no, but back to the show. Okay, so the show is who does Justin play?
He plays Mike, who
okay.
is, you know, the classic comic book shopkeep.
Okay.
So he's like one of the managers of the store. Mm. Yep, and he's very put upon by the other people there.
Eccentric characters.
Yes.
And how many are in your ensemble cast?
There's 12 actors total.
Whoa, okay.
So it's like a big ensemble piece. So
and you've enlisted the services of a major store in New York City to be the store. Can you talk about that, or is that top secret?
Yes. No, Jim Hanley. So, you
nice.
Know.
Woo! Good store.
Hanley's.
Great store.
They were very nice to let us
long
shoot
there. Enduring Jim Hanley.
Yes.
Big, well-lit.
Yes, very well-lit.
do you do this after hours then, I guess? Or?
No, it is shot live in front of comic book store
fans,
real
customers. Like
wow.
they're there wow, while impressive. We're shooting.
So let's get to the point where we plug everything.
Okay.
What do you want to plug
okay.
on Justin's part and Chris's?
Okay.
So go Justin first.
Plug. All right. Well, Sidecar, we're making a ton of videos always. Please check them out, sidecarcomedy.com or youtube.com/sidecarcomedy. You can check out Comic Book Club at youtube.com/comicbookclub. And that's my fun. Follow me on Twitter. My name is JT Sizzle.
Okay, Chris, go ahead.
So plugs for me. Of course, the store, Jim Hanley's. Thanks for letting us shoot there.
Wow.
You know, I feel like it's an award ceremony show. I want to thank my mom.
I don't know if you know what a plug is. You don't just talk about things you like.
Gary,
so, a thank you section. Or
yeah,
it could be, but...
I'd so. Like to plug bacon.
Oh, okay. I do love bacon. So, but yeah, so, and then we had a couple of sponsors for wardrobes, so...
Again,
you don't...
Quite
oh, okay. So why does
any website
like
things
right
that you are working on?
Antimatter show.com, and then if you go to any of the social media stuff, you know, facebook.com/antimatter.
And you're
show.
On YouTube as well.
And we're on YouTube, youtube.com/antimatter show. So it's really easy to find, you know.
When does it actually start?
I'm hoping September.
Okay, so we look forward to Antimatter. We look forward to more Sidecar productions from
yes.
Justin.
And Comic Book Club.
And Comic Book Club,
yes.
Of course. Anything?
I'm working on a comic as well. Is that
oh, yeah.
Oh,
talk,
yeah.
Talk.
This artist and I are doing a thing. I think we're going to put it... It's going to become a web comic once we get it finished.
We don't believe in web here. It's going to become a comic. if
yes.
it's on the web, it's on the web.
Right, yeah, okay. Sure, that's true. That's why it's called a webcomic.
Well, what is your comic about?
The title is Super Quit.
Okay.
And it's a comedy comic, and it's like a Batman type hero if he finally quits. If he quits being a superhero.
And like what is his
does.
Life like after that?
Exactly. Like what
retirement.
Would he do?
Will this be in grocery
just, like,
stores?
He gets fed up, huh?
Will this be in grocery stores?
We're going exclusively
right
to
next to Archie
stores.
On the grocery store.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to be doing it right underneath the condom section.
Wow.
Like, you get fucked, and then you read Super Quick.
That is the
it's
best tagline.
Progressive, yeah.
Super Quick?
Super
Quit. He's a quitter.
He doesn't just quit. He's super quick.
You don't want to be super quick in that condom aisle. The
no, be quick in the aisle and then slow it down in the bedroom.
Wow,
you got sun, kid.
Are you looking for Hollywood to pick that up eventually, or what do you want?
Yes, I have some meetings with Hollywood.
Yes,
they're going
entity.
Pretty well. It's hard to hear because there are so many people murmuring when you're meeting with Hollywood. But yes, yes, I'm looking forward to Hollywood.
Okay, ready?
All right. I think that's it. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for being in the Action Room.
A pleasure. What a room. What an active
it's
room.
It's a room where yeah. clearly anything can happen.
I don't know how much action the Action Room has seen. But
and on that note, we will... are we going to a break? Or are we actually finishing the show?
Well, when we're back, we'll go to the nerd
We
news.
Need a break.
Okay.
Thank you so much, guys. We look forward to the show. And thanks for being on our... Show.
Nice. Quit putting quotes around it.
I would like to thank Gary for allowing me to come up here and give this acceptance.
Oh,
Gary's the I reason do. You guys are
it's
here.
It's the best acceptance speech plugs ever.
It's amazing.
All right.
We're going to go done. To a break. We'll be right back. Justin and Chris, thank you.
Pleasure.
Lucas, Don producer Mike.
Yeah.
You want to come over to my place later and throw some knives at the wall for fun while drinking?
More than anything.
Yeah, maybe we can ride some motorcycles too around.
And chicks.
And listen to 70s classic rock.
Do you remember that time in,
Oh, that time in South America?
Exactly.
That job we did. We were bogged down in the jungle, surrounded by 79 commandos. I never thought I'd get out of there alive.
But we did, with the skin of our teeth.
We did, with that AK-47 and those 7 cluster bombs. Oh, yeah. You know, if that old associate of ours hadn't shown up with 3 Panzer tanks... And that aerial cover with that helicopter and that friend of his who was an expert pilot and munitions expert, we would have never made it out of there alive.
One thing we have is great timing.
That's right. We have amazing timing. And you know what I think it's time for now, Producer Mike?
What's that, Tony?
You know what I'm really in the mood for more than anything? More than stabbing some guy in the heart with a Bowie knife?
What's that?
I'm in the mood for...
That was awesome.
What you don't know is that Producer Mike and I, although we appear to be mild-mannered geeks recording an internet radio show in the Action Room studio, we actually have a dark secret past as contract mercenaries.
Maybe it's a past for you, but it's present day for me.
I have a dark... Oh, you're still taking jobs.
I'm still doing it.
You're still... You went down to Florida to kill someone last week, right?
It's funny we're talking about this, because I got one more job left, and then I'm out.
Just one more.
Okay.
Maybe... Do you want me to come with you for old time's sake?
I need you, man.
I hear it's in East Germany.
We need to get all the team back together.
All right.
I need Jessica. I need Jennifer.
We need Afua.
I need Zoe.
A fool can charm the guards. All right. Anyway, enough old obscure action.
Have they ever
jokes.
Done like a mercenary mission like that kind of thing, but with all girls?
No, that's the next high concept. That's the next high concept, Producer Mike. All right. So let's bring you into the nerd news. Enough about my past as a mercenary, killer for hire, assassin.
And hosting the Gong Show.
And hosting the Gong Show, which I also did. Yes, I was Gene the Dancing Machine, and he was also a mercenary. So, in the nerd news, you know, a lot of stuff happened this week.
Yes. But the main things, well, let's just get right into it. The two movies we saw were The Expendables and Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
And what I commented in the beginning of the show is just, it is so funny to see these two these two movies head-to-head. You have the...
On one weekend.
Yeah, right? You have the 80s kind of retro action film where all the action stars come together in one film. Stallone did it. He did it. He did something that we all dreamed of.
And he directed it.
And he directed it.
And co-wrote it.
We'll get into why, if that's a good thing or not. but it's this old school mentality, men were men. And now we see, with Scott Pilgrim, how men have become. The kind of hipster, kind of a little wimpy, but they have, you know, they have this underlying kind of anger. And it's a little more witty, but, you know, it's still just as kick-ass, but in a different way.
With lots of geek references.
Yeah, and Scott Pilgrim is... you know, is what we're talking about, and it's Michael Cera up against Stallone. So now, who's gonna win? Do you think this weekend
in terms of box office tally?
What have you heard?
I haven't heard much, but sadly, I have heard that like Kick-Ass, Scott Pilgrim is not doing the numbers that we would like it to.
And I think that has probably...
Obviously, it's a niche film.
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that it's such a different film that people don't know how to look at it, how to read it. It looks interesting. Is it Juno? But it's also like a video game. And
also fighting.
Yeah.
But it's also this crazy visual high-tech, you know, crazy CGI festival of fights and animation.
So we'll see if, like, the Kick-Ass, the Scott Pilgrim, is this just a wave, or are there going to be more films like this?
But I am glad that Scott Pilgrim got made and the Kick-Ass got made. I loved both films. We'll give you our full reviews
in a
second.
Well, here we go.
But also, just even if Scott Pilgrim doesn't do the box office that it deserves to, perhaps, I'm just glad it is there to push the genre forward. It's like the indie comic book movie. It's like Ghost World 2010 with fighting and animation and video game references.
Now here's the deal: we're going to come
from
two perspectives. One, someone who's read the books,
yes,
which is Tony, and one who hasn't, which is me.
Right.
So go ahead,
okay,
as somebody who read all 6 volumes of Scott Pilgrim, the graphic novel. How did you think it was adapted
into
a film?
I discovered Scott Pilgrim early on. I loved it. I loved the film. We saw a midnight showing Thursday night with a very animated, very excited crowd. I loved it. As Zoe, our correspondent, said on one of our last shows, the first half of the movie, or roughly three quarters of the movie, is verbatim from the books. And Brian Lee O'Malley's wit, style, storytelling, panache, and unique, innovative ideas, and incredibly funny romantic comedy mixed with video game references are all in evidence. Edgar Wright handles it beautifully, but it's still a movie. I mean, it still works. It's not just like... Sometimes with movies, like with the early Harry Potter movies, when you put the book literally on the screen, it's boring somehow. Mm-hmm. Not at all here. I loved it. I thought all the actors nailed it. Very faithful. Three quarters of the way through, of course, when they were making the movie, they were writing. Brian Lee O'Malley was writing and drawing the final book. So, of course, the end of the book and the end of the movie differ a little bit in terms of how the final battle happens. My only critique is that the last 5 or 10 minutes of the movie, we won't really give spoilers here, but the last 5 or 10 minutes of the movie I felt could have packed a little more of an emotional punch, and they didn't. But there are earlier sequences where I did feel the film had its heart, and I kind of got, you know, really into it and felt excited for Scott as he achieves these various things he needs to achieve. The theater, I thought it was hilariously funny. It is so densely packed with joke after brilliant joke and brilliant visual and brilliant setup. Our audience was laughing every 5 or 10 minutes. I loved it. It is fair to say, though, Producer Mike, that sometimes maybe the film doesn't have moments to breathe because it's just hitting you.
Well,
here's
my point.
Yeah. Producer Mike made that point.
While you breathe, Tony, here's my review. So, yeah, basically, first of all, total fun. It never ends. It's always entertaining throughout the whole thing.
And
it never
very
gets boring.
Innovative.
And very innovative. And the thing is, the audience, it was so much fun to see it with an audience of fans, first of all, and just people in general who were excited to see it, even the people who hadn't read the book, like myself. So here's the deal. I thought it was great. My problem with it was two things. One is, it might have been more enjoyable for people who had read it and understand the kind of layered text context to everything, whereas the way it comes off is it's a little bit superficial because it's just grabbing all the main moments of the book, and it's almost like it just... I don't know, like, a review I read was like, maybe it was just a few, too many ex-boyfriends for him to battle. So, as an adaptation...
It compressed into 2 hours.
Well, as an adaptation to a movie, I think something that would have worked, it made it better, was to, like, maybe, okay, instead of 7 evil exes, make it 5 or 3,
right,
just for the sake of a movie.
But,
you know?
Of course, they wouldn't do that, because the magic number of the book is 7, that's the pitch of the book, but I see what you mean.
But that is the pitch of the book, but in adapting it, I don't know that they had to stick with that, you know what I mean? And I think
Are you saying they don't have enough time for, like, characterization and spending time?
Of course,
time,
yeah. Now, the other side of it is that because it's so choreographed and the way Edgar Wright directs it, which in his past films like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, he just accents a more normal film with his kind of action-y direction, you
right.
know, and quick cuts and stuff, which
and crazy fights.
I feel like that started with stuff like what was like one of those first series on TV, Parker Lewis
Can't Lose,
and
yeah.
then that went into Malcolm in the Middle. I think,
but Spaced, Edgar Wright's first thing, Spaced, might have been doing that. Well, certainly
not before
Parker Lewis
yeah, yeah.
Can't Lose.
But anyway, so that was kind of started back then. In any case, the point is, Edgar Wright is amazing,
yeah.
and I think this film is amazing, but it's almost more like kind of a time capsule of what, you know, an experiment that can never be duplicated again. I don't think another film can be made like this again, because I don't think this film has legs in terms of 20 years from now looking back at it.
You're saying, also, if you're not a hardcore fan of the
Not
comics.
A hardcore fan. And it's also, it's just, like you were saying, and what I was mentioning to you, is that it doesn't breathe at all. You know, there's, even the sequences where people are just talking, it's still, like, choreographed like a fight scene, and it's just, like, everything's so quick and fast. And so I just felt like there was no suspense, there was no, like, I didn't necessarily care as much about the characters that I might have if it was, like, if it did breathe a little bit more. And also, I liken it to, like, if you took a film like the trilogy, like the Star Wars trilogy, and just put it on fast forward, it would still be awesome.
Yeah,
you'd still
yeah.
see lightsabers and all this stuff, but you wouldn't get, you know, the emotion,
depth.
You know, and,
yeah.
and to want to continually watch those films again and again. Mm. I mean, watch Scott Pilgrim again and again, like you do with the Star Wars movies. And also, it's funny that it's a video game and it had to be done this way, but it's almost like when you play a video game and you finish it, you don't necessarily want to play it all over again. So
yeah,
it's almost
yeah.
like in viewing this film, it was an awesome experience, but I don't know that I want to see it again.
I find myself curious to watch it again, but maybe in a few weeks.
On the flip side, as a comparison, was
The
Expendables.
Yes, which we just saw.
Now, I don't know, man. Where do I go with this? At first, I was obviously super excited to hear about this because I was like, okay, this is the film I dreamed of.
Yeah.
All the old action stars from the 80s come together in one film. then as it kind of continued and the promotion with the trailers and stuff like this, I didn't know what to think of it. And then when I finally heard that it was Stallone writing it and directing it,
yeah.
I was kind of like, it's probably not going to be very good. So in seeing it, that's the other thing. The excitement, there's something we forgot. When we thought all the action stars from the 80s come together, that's going to be awesome. The bad thing is that that's also all the worst acting in one film,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. And so, it maintains, it's fun that it maintains that 80s sensibility, but some of it is also awful in the way a B-level, mediocre 80s action movie
would
be made.
There's absolutely no element of modern movie making in this.
Anywhere.
Like, it's total old school, which, yeah, if you want that, that's cool, but some of it is just so poorly done. And just,
there's good old school and there's bad old school.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like, this could have been the same exact movie, but just done with a little better. See, one of the early scenes that we were talking about with Mickey Rourke,
yeah,
and Jason Statham and Sylvester Stallone is an awesome, almost kind of improv-y scene they,
yeah,
did.
Yeah, and it's decently written.
It was really well done. Then, right, the next scene is fucking Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis, and Stallone, and that is one of the most awkward scenes in Hollywood, in movies.
Schwarzenegger's cameo seems a little unnecessary and forced.
And from that point
and
on...
the scene itself is just not played that well.
From that point on, we were basically crying from laughter, just how silly and bad this film was.
Yeah, I mean, you turned to me and you said... it was both much better and much worse because of how bad it was.
It was definitely...
than we expected.
I did expect it to be a little bit more modern.
Expected it to be slightly better written. Now, it's funny. Producer
like
Mike...
like the A-Team you just saw.
The A-Team, which I did find myself thinking, I know Stallone loves his creator ownership and he likes to direct everything he does. If the Expendables 2, if they make a sequel, please give it to a modern, intelligent writer and director who just write and direct better, like the A-Team guy.
I feel like Stallone, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, actually, he suffers from George Lucas disease.
Yes, he does.
He thinks he's right, and he
And he wants everything to be in his little capsule of a world.
And they're deep thinkers, but that doesn't always come across in dialogue. You can't just have poetry in all the dialogue, or else it becomes very cheesy.
There was poetry in the Expendables.
Not poetry, but all the moments are supposed to be these deep, insightful lines.
But
they're
not
horrible.
Well written. Yeah, yeah. I mean...
And when they're delivered by incredibly bad actors with thick accents, it just...
Now, okay, some of the actors in this movie are good actors. Jason Statham is a good actor.
Right.
Stallone, for the most part, he's okay, you know, but...
But with this dialogue, it just made everybody look horrible.
Yeah, the dialogue's pretty awful. Jet Li cannot act. He can also barely speak the English language.
It's official.
But it wouldn't, you know, sometimes people have accents and they're not good with English. That's fine. But you can still see that they're a good actor, that it comes through despite their difficulty with the language. Jet Li is pretty awful in every scene. That guy, Couture,
he's
a wrestling
awful.
Guy,
yeah.
is awful. Stone Cold Steve Austin is abysmal, his acting.
Right, right,
not
right.
that he's asked to do much, but...
Yeah, no, it's all absolutely horrible. And even Eric Roberts is just...
Eric Roberts, who sometimes can be really good, is just awful.
I say it's all Stallone's fault.
It's the writing.
It's just horrible. And
that's
the thing. I want to love it. I want to love it. And in a lot of ways, it's fun. It's so opposite from Scott Pilgrim because it's slow.
Yeah.
It just kind of takes its time. It's just like you see shots of planes doing their thing, which is kind of reminiscent of what we just saw with having seen a screening of Raiders of the Lost Ark on the Intrepid.
Yeah.
Think with the score matters more and stuff like that. So those kinds of things are fun and cool, and I actually wasn't bored per se, but at a certain point, especially with the fighting sequences, where it's all so frenetic with the camera and stuff, it's just, and the explosions get so overdone, it's just ridiculous.
And then we were just laughing and laughing so hard at how over the top every explosion
over
was.
Over the top,
and, that's the wrestling movie, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it was an arm wrestling movie. It wasn't.
That's what I mean. That's what I meant
when
I said wrestling. Yeah. Arm wrestling.
And Couture, by the way, is a I think it's called an FCC fighter, not FCC.
the FBI fighter.
Whatever it's called. MAA, I think it's called.
You
anyway.
Better adhere to communications regulations, or the government will kick your ass.
Yeah, he's surprisingly, you know, it's like there's a battle between who is the worst actor in this.
Wow.
so
wow.
bad. Also, Jean-Claude Van Damme, who I thought was a little bit of a stuck-up asshole for not doing this, because when Stallone asked him to do it, he said, well, what's my character? And Stallone just said, you'll make a lot of money, don't worry about it. And he didn't want to do it because he had integrity. I was like, what the fuck's up? Stick up your ass. But now I see that
now
he shouldn't
have
done it.
Now that we saw the movie, all right, well, another massive event that is happening this weekend in geek culture,
mm-hmm.
There is a Star Wars convention that has been held for the past several years. It is called Star Wars Celebration, and the fifth annual Star Wars Celebration takes place this year, which is also, what, the 30th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back?
Yep. So it was on the 12th to the 15th, which was this weekend, in Florida, Orlando, Florida. Why is it in Florida? Do we know?
Hell if I know. I don't know. But people were tweeting live tweets, mm-hmm. you know, people who are there in the panel discussions all day because they had George Lucas there.
And John Stewart
was the host, and he did a panel interview with George Lucas. And John Stewart's a huge geek, right?
Yeah. Well, I assume so, yeah. I started watching a little bit of the clips on YouTube. I want to see the whole thing.
And they also had Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher there. David Prowse was banned because, I guess, what, he charges too much for his autograph or something?
Who was the guy in the Darth Vader suit, if nobody knows?
Yes.
All right, so here's the deal. The big news, basically, we'll keep it at that, is that the Star Wars Blu-ray that's going to be coming out has a deleted scene, or deleted scenes.
The Star Wars Blu-ray is hitting in spring or summer 2011.
And what it is the original introduction of Luke Skywalker in the Jedi movie.
This is one of the several deleted scenes that will be on the Blu-ray.
And what's
never before seen.
And what's exciting is, now I remember in Jedi as it is now, the opening for the introduction of Luke Skywalker is at Jabba's scene.
Yeah, he comes in the dark robe, and he's like, give me my droids back.
And in this deleted scene, he also has the robe, and you don't know, you can't see his full face and stuff like that. And Darth Vader is basically saying, come join
He's
me in the
psychically
dark.
Calling out to
him.
Yeah,
let's play that scene.
It hasn't been taken off YouTube yet. It's amazing.
And it will never be taken off the Action Room.
You can't stop us, Lucas.
So basically, I don't know. It was exciting, even though it was like 20 seconds long, just to see that, you know, because I remember when I saw Return of the Jedi, and there's actually a lot of footage of it back then in 1983 of it playing at the Lowe's, which is now the Nokia Theater in Times Square.
Thank you for coming to Lowe's. Sit back and relax. Enjoy the show.
And but I remember seeing it. I was, you know, 10 or whatever, 9. And it was just seeing Darth Vader first step off of that, whatever the ship was, with the Emperor.
Yes.
The first time, everybody went fucking nuts. Wow. And it was just, it was the best time
to
be a kid.
That triangular shuttle that he comes,
Being a kid in the 80s, I'm sorry. Nobody can beat that. I'm sorry. I don't care what you say. But anyway, so this new scene seems fun. It's kind of ridiculous that people are they keep reissuing.
Well, apparently there are more than just this deleted scene that will be on the Blu-ray release.
Well, now, one of the other ones that they're saying is when he's fixing or making his new green lightsaber.
No, this is that scene.
Well, there's another one before, or is this the one before he goes into Jabba's?
Yeah,
that's it. Okay.
He's tinkering with it, and then he puts it in R2.
Right. Oh, yeah, he puts it in R2. The other thing is, now this, they said that this was kind of like the cut scene from the first movie. I didn't even know what that was. What is it?
Okay, when I first saw Star Wars, I saw this before they took it out of the movie theaters, and I had the Star Wars storybook. Luke is introduced talking to Biggs. Remember Lieutenant Biggs in Star Wars? And he's talking, he's looking at the double suns at the very beginning of Star Wars, and he's talking with Biggs about how he wants to go to the academy.
Right,
and Biggs
is
going to the academy, and Biggs is like, you can follow me when you're ready or when your parents let you, and they're old friends, and it's like Biggs is going off to college.
So Anchor,
and Luke can't go to college.
What's Anchorhead?
Anchorhead is the city.
Okay.
Right outside in Tatooine, not Mos Eisley, but it's the other major city of Tatooine.
Now,
where Biggs is going to go off to college space, the academy.
And that was was that originally in some of the
It was in the theatrical release for the first few months.
Wow.
I remember seeing it, and like I said, the pictures from it are also in the Star Wars storybook from 1977 or whatever.
I feel like I kind of remember seeing it too. I must have been like 3, but
I remember friends of mine being like, why do we remember this scene, it's not in the movie?
That's cool.
But, it was for the first few months.
Do you know why they cut it out, or?
I don't know.
That's weird.
Time, you know.
But that's odd, like, after it was already released. But they would do things like that.
Also, apparently, there are some urban myths that Episode 4, A New Hope, wasn't in the first month of screening or something.
Okay.
But I think that might be wrong.
Hmm,
it always said Episode 4, I think.
Anyway. All right, so let's end the show because it's been crazy. George Lucas
has become a fat, bloated Star Wars millionaire.
One quote that we have to leave with, because if anybody thought he would ever change his mind about anything, the one quote that I think is great, can you do your George Lucas impression?
From George Lucas?
Which is basically Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog?
This is what he said to in answering about how stubborn he is, the stubborn attitude you need to make a film. This is in the interview with Jon Stewart at the celebration just this last weekend.
So Lucas said, "I'm right. I don't care what the rest of the world thinks. And Kermit the Frog is here to say thanks for listening to the Action Room. And I'm Tony Wolf.
Oh, Kermit.
And this has been the Action Room. Yeah!"